Chapter 19, The Model of National Income Determination. Page 154, Introduction. This chapter explains a general Keynesian model of national income determination in a capitalist economy. To simplify the analysis, it has been classified into a two-sector model, a three-sector model, and a four-sector model. First two sectors are related to a closed economy in which there is no foreign trade, and the last sector is concerned with the open economy. Two-sector model. A two-sector model of income determination of an economy consists only of domestic and business sectors. Assumptions. The income determination in a closed economy is based on the following assumptions. 1. It is a two-sector economy where only consumption and investment expenditures take place. Thus, the total output of the economy is the sum of the consumption and investment expenditure. 2. Investment relates to net investment after deducting depreciation. 3. It is a closed economy in which there are no exports or imports. 4. There are no corporate firms in the economy, so that there are no corporate undistributed profits. 5. There are no business taxes, no income taxes, and no social security taxes, so that disposable personal income equals NNP. 6. There are no transfer payments. 7. There is no government. 8. There is autonomous investment. 9. The economy is at less than full employment level of output. 10. The price level remains constant up to the level of full employment. 11. The money wage rate is constant. 12. There is stable consumption function. 13. The rate of interest is fixed. 14. The analysis relates to the short period. Explanation. Given these assumptions, the equilibrium level of national income can be determined by the equality of aggregate demand and aggregate supply, or by the equality of saving and investment. Aggregate demand is the summation of consumption expenditure on newly produced consumer goods by households and on their services C, the investment expenditure on newly produced capital goods and inventories by businessmen, capital I. It is shown by the following identities. Y is equal to C plus I. Disposable personal income, YD, is equal to C plus S. So the first one was equation 1, second is equation 2. But Y is equal to YD. Therefore C plus I is equal to C plus S, or I is equal to S, where Y is the national income, YD disposable income, C is consumption, S is saving, and I is investment. Page 155. In the above identities, C plus I relate to consumption and investment expenditures, which represent aggregate demand of an economy. C is the consumption function, which indicates the relation between income and consumption expenditure. The consumption function is shown by the slope of the C curve in figure 1. Now we have a figure 1 which is very complicated, so I am not going to try to explain it. You will have to refer to the digitized version. So in figure 1, MPC, that is the marginal propensity to consume, is the C curve. I is investment demand, which is autonomous. When investment demand I is added to the consumption function C, the aggregate demand function becomes C plus I. C plus S identity is related to the aggregate supply of an economy. That is why consumer goods and services are produced from total consumption expenditure and aggregate savings are invested in the production of capital goods. In an economy, the equilibrium level of national income is determined by the equality of aggregate demand and aggregate supply. C plus I is equal to C plus S, or by the equality of saving and investment, S is equal to I. We explain these two approaches one by one with the help of figure 1A and B. Equality of aggregate demand and aggregate supply. The equilibrium level of national income is determined at an output where the aggregate demand function, or the curve, intersects the aggregate supply function. The aggregate demand function is represented by C plus I in the figure. It is drawn by adding the consumption function C and the investment demand I. The 45 degrees line represents the aggregate supply function Y is equal to C plus S. The aggregate demand function C plus I intersects the aggregate supply function Y is equal to C plus S at point E in panel A of figure 1, and the equilibrium level of income OY is determined. Suppose there is disequilibrium in aggregate supply and aggregate demand of the economy. Disequilibrium can be either case, aggregate supply exceeding aggregate demand or aggregate demand exceeding aggregate supply. How will the equilibrium level of income be restored in the two situations? First, take the case when aggregate supply exceeds aggregate demand. This is shown by OY2 level of income in panel A of the figure. Here, aggregate output or supply is Y2E2 and the aggregate demand is Y2K. The disposable income is OY2, which is equal to Y2E2. At this income level OY2, consumers will spend Y2D on consumption goods and save DE2. But businessmen intend to make investment equal to DK in order to buy investment goods. Thus, the aggregate demand for consumption goods and investment goods is Y2D plus DK, which is equal to Y2K. But aggregate supply or output Y2E2 is greater than aggregate demand Y2K by KE2, which is equal to Y2E2 minus Y2K. Therefore, the surplus output of goods worth KE2 will be accumulated by businessmen in the form of unintended inventories. In order to avoid further inventory accumulation, they will reduce production. As a result of the reduction in output, income and employment will fall, and the equilibrium level of income will be restored at OY, where the aggregate supply equals aggregate demand at point E. The second situation of disequilibrium, when aggregate demand exceeds aggregate supply, is shown by the income level of OY1 in panel A of the figure. Here, the aggregate demand is Y1E1 and the aggregate output is Y1A. Page 156. The disposable income is OY1, which is equal to Y1 small a. At this income level, consumers spend Y1 small b on consumption goods and save small b small a. But businessmen intend to invest small b E1 to buy investment goods. Thus, the aggregate demand is Y1B plus BE1 equal to Y1E1, which is greater than the aggregate supply of goods Y1 small a by AE1. To meet this excess demand worth AE1, businessmen will have to reduce inventories by this amount. In order to stop further reduction in their inventories, businessmen will increase production. As a result of the increase in production, output, income and employment will increase in the economy, and the equilibrium level of income OY will be restored again at point E. Equality of saving and investment. The equilibrium level of income can also be shown by the equality of the saving and investment functions. Since the equilibrium level of income is determined when aggregate supply C plus S equals aggregate demand C plus I in the economy, intended or planned saving also equals intended or planned investment. This can be shown algebraically. C plus S is equal to C plus I, therefore S is equal to I. The equilibrium level of income in terms of the equality of saving and investment is shown in panel B of figure 1, where I is the autonomous investment function and S is the saving function. The saving and investment functions intersect at point E, which determines the equilibrium level of income OY. If there is disequilibrium in the sense of inequality between saving and investment, forces will operate in the economy and the equilibrium position will be restored. Suppose the income level is OY2, which is above the equilibrium income level OY. At this income level OY2, saving exceeds investment by GE2. Your G is small. It means that people are consuming and spending less. Thus, aggregate demand is less than aggregate supply. This will lead to the accumulation of unintended inventories with businessmen. To avoid further accumulation of inventories, businessmen will reduce production. Consequently, output, income and employment will be reduced till the equilibrium level of income OY is reached at point E, where S is equal to I. On the contrary, if the income level is less than the equilibrium level, investment exceeds saving. This is shown by OY1 level of income when investment Y1 E1 is greater than Y1 small e saving. The excess of intended investment over intended saving means that aggregate demand is greater than aggregate supply by small e E1. Since aggregate output or supply is less than aggregate demand, businessmen will decrease inventories held up by them. To stop further reduction in their inventories, they will increase production. Consequently, output, income and employment will increase in the economy and the equilibrium level of income OY will again be reached at point E. The determination of equilibrium level of income simultaneously by the equality of aggregate demand and aggregate supply and of saving and investment is explained in table 1 below. So in table 1 we have, on one side there is panel A, on the other side is panel B, and there is a note in the middle. So when in panel A, when Y is equal to C plus I at the equilibrium point E, and panel B, S is equal to I. In panel A, Y is greater than C plus I to the right of E, then in panel B, S is greater than I. And finally, in panel A, when Y is less than C plus I, so in the table to the left of E, we have in panel B, S is less than I. Three sector model. A three sector model of income determination consists of two sector model and the government sector. The government increases aggregate demand by spending on goods and services and by collecting taxes. Government expenditure. First, we take government expenditure. To explain it, given all the above assumptions except the government sector in the two sector model, income determination is as follows. By adding a government sector capital G to equation 1 of the two sector model, Y is equal to C plus I, we have Y is equal to C plus I plus G. Page 157. Similarly, by adding a government expenditure capital G to the saving and investment equation, when we have Y is equal to C plus I plus G, Y is equal to C plus S, since S is equal to Y minus C, therefore I plus G equal to S. Both are illustrated in figure 2 A and B. So, trying to explain figure 2. In figure 2, panel A, we have income on the x-axis and CIG on the y-axis. There are three curves C, C plus I and C plus I plus G, which are parallel to each other starting at a certain point on the y-axis. The difference between C and C plus I is I on the y-axis, and the difference between C plus I and C plus I plus G is G on the y-axis. There is a 45 degrees curve Y is equal to C plus S. Where Y equal to C plus S meets C plus I, the point of intersection is E, corresponding income is Y. Where C plus I plus G meets Y, the point is E1, corresponding income is Y1, such that Y1 is greater than Y and the difference is delta Y. Now if you look at panel B, in panel B again we have income on the x-axis and on the y-axis is S, I and G. So we have the S curve, which is a curve, increasing curve, which passes through the x-axis at some point. Then I curve is parallel to the x-axis. I plus G is again parallel to x-axis but higher than I by the value G on the y-axis. where S meets I is point E, which is same as income Y in the panel A, and where S meets I plus G is point E1 corresponding to income Y1, again same as in panel A. Going back to the text. So in panel A, C plus I plus G is the new aggregate demand curve which intersects the aggregate supply curve 45 degrees line at point E1, where OY1 is the equilibrium level of income. This income level is more than the income level OY without a government expenditure. Similarly, according to the concept of saving and investment, the new investment curve I plus G intersects the saving curve S at point E1 in panel B. Consequently, the income level OY1 is determined, which is more than the income level OY without a government expenditure. It should be noted that by adding a government expenditure to consumption and investment expenditure C plus I, the national income increases by YY1, which is more than the government expenditure, that is delta Y greater than G in panel A of the figure. This is due to the multiplier effect, which depends upon the value of MPC or MPS, where MPC or MPS is less than 1. Taxation. Now, to explain the effects of taxes on the level of national income. When the government imposes a tax, the amount of tax is reduced from the national income, and what remains is the disposable income. Thus, Y minus capital T is equal to YD, where Y is the national income, capital T is the tax, and YD is the disposable income. Now, disposable income will be less than national income by the amount of tax, that is YD is less than Y. With the fall in disposable income, people will reduce expenditure on consumption. This will lead to reduction in national income, which will depend on the amount or rate of tax and the value of MPC. Given all the above mentioned assumptions in which government expenditure is constant, the effects of taxes on national income are illustrated in the following figures. First, the effect of a lump sum tax on income is shown in figure 3. So in figure 3, we have again income on the x-axis and CIG on the y-axis. So you have similar to panel A of figure 2. Here we have CIG, and then a lower line parallel to CIG is C1IG. Then we have the 45 degrees line Y is equal to C plus S, which coincides with C plus I plus G at E corresponding to income Y, and it intersects with C1 plus I plus G at E1 corresponding to income Y1. Y1 is less than Y. Returning to the text, the equilibrium level of income without a tax is at point E, where the aggregate demand curve C plus I plus G intersects the aggregate supply curve 45 degrees line, and the income level OY is determined. By imposing a lump sum tax, the consumption function is reduced by the amount of tax. As a result, the aggregate demand curve C plus I plus G shifts downwards to C1 plus I plus G and intersects the aggregate supply curve 45 degrees at point E1. This results in the reduction of income level from OY to OY1. Thus, with the imposition of a lump sum tax, the national income is reduced to YY1. Now we take a proportional tax, which is imposed on the income as a constant percentage. With the increase in the rate of tax, consumption and national income will decrease, and vice versa. The effect of such a tax on income level is shown in figure 4. So in figure 4, we have again income on the x-axis, CIG on the y-axis. Here, as compared to figure 3, in figure 4, the C1IG does not move down parallelly, but it moves down radially. That means C plus I plus G, which is starting at one point on the y-axis, they both start from the same point, but it still moves down, so the slope decreases. Again here we have E and E1 and Y1 similar to that in figure 3. So going back to the text, the aggregate demand curve C plus I plus G before the imposition of tax intersects the aggregate supply curve 45 degrees line at E, and the income level OY is determined. After imposing the tax, the C plus I plus G curve shifts downwards to C1 plus I plus G due to a fall in consumption, and it intersects the 45 degrees line at point E1. Consequently, the equilibrium level of national income is reduced by YY1. Page 158. Effect on saving and investment. The effect of a tax on saving and investment also determines the equilibrium of national income as follows. Y is equal to C plus I plus G, and Y is equal to C plus S plus T. Therefore, Y is equal to C plus I plus G equal to C plus S plus T, or Y is equal to I plus G equal to S plus T. It is clear from the above equation that when planned investment I plus government expenditure on goods and services G equals planned saving S plus tax T, the equilibrium of national income is established. I plus G are inflows or injections in the national income, and S plus T are outflows or leakages. If they are equal to each other, the national income is in equilibrium. This is shown in figure 5. So in figure 5 we have income on the x-axis, S, I, G, T on the y-axis. There are two curves I and I plus G which are parallel to the x-axis, and I plus G is higher than I. There are two other curves S and S plus T such that S is a rising curve as we move towards the right on the x-axis. S plus T is parallel to S but to the left of the S curve. The point where I plus G meets S is E, and the corresponding income is Y1. The point where I plus G intersects S plus T is E1, and the corresponding income is Y1. So Y1 is less than Y. So actually S is moving to the left to S plus T, so E moves to E1 and Y moves to Y1. Returning to the text, here E is the equilibrium point before imposing the tax where S and I plus G curves intersect and the income level OY is determined. With the imposition of a tax, the S curve shifts upwards to the left at S plus T, and the new equilibrium is established at point E1 with I plus G, and the national income falls from OY to OY1. 4. Sector model. Income determination in open economy. We shall now show how national income is determined in an open economy. For this, we relax the assumptions that there are no exports or imports and government expenditures. This means that we shall have to add imports and exports and government expenditures and taxation in our analysis. It may be noted that government expenditures are like investment because they raise the demand for goods. They are injections in the national income. On the other hand, taxes are leakages in the national income like savings because they tend to reduce the demand for consumer goods. The impact of exports and imports is similar to that of government expenditure. Exports are injections because they increase the demand for goods in the same economy. Imports, on the other hand, are leakages in the national income because they represent the supply of goods to the given economy. Assumptions. The analysis of the determination of income in an open economy is based on the following assumptions. 1. The domestic economy's international trade is small relative to total world trade. 2. There is less than full employment in the economy. 3. The general price level is constant up to the full employment level. 4. Exchange rates are fixed. 5. There are no tariffs, trade and exchange restrictions. 6. Gross exports are determined by external factors. 7. Exports X, investment I, and government expenditure G are autonomous. 8. Consumption C, imports M, savings S, and taxes T are each a fixed proportion of the national income Y, and their relationships with national income are linear. Page 159. Determination of equilibrium level of income. Given these assumptions, an open economy is in equilibrium when its national expenditure capital E is equal to its national income Y. This can be shown in the following equation for the equilibrium level of income. Y is equal to E is equal to C plus I plus G plus within bracket X minus M. But Y is equal to C plus S plus T. Therefore, C plus S plus T is equal to C plus I plus G plus within bracket X minus M. In the above analysis, C plus S plus T is gross national income GNI and C plus I plus G plus within bracket X minus M is gross national expenditure GNE. Thus, the equilibrium level of income in an economy is determined when aggregate supply GNI is equal to GNE aggregate demand, or C plus S plus T is equal to C plus I plus G plus within bracket X minus M. This is shown in figure 6, where C is the consumption function. Now, I am not going to explain figure 6 because it is slightly complicated. On this curve, I, autonomous investment, is superimposed to form C plus I function, and autonomous government expenditure G is superimposed on C plus I to form C plus I plus G function. When net exports of X minus M are superimposed on C plus I plus G, we get the aggregate demand function C plus I plus G plus within bracket X minus M. The 45 degrees line is the aggregate supply function, which represents C plus S plus T. It should be noted that so long as C plus I plus G plus within bracket X minus M is greater than C plus I plus G, exports exceed imports and there is net addition to aggregate demand. At point D on panel A of the figure, X minus M is equal to 0. Beyond point D, C plus I plus G is greater than C plus I plus G plus within bracket X minus M, and imports exceed exports, and this gap continues to grow as income increases. This leads to net reduction in aggregate demand, so that the aggregate demand function C plus I plus G plus within bracket X minus M lies below the domestic demand function C plus I plus G. The equilibrium level of income in an open economy, OY, is determined at point E, where the aggregate demand function C plus I plus G plus within bracket X minus M intersects the aggregate supply function C plus S plus T. This analysis shows that in the absence of foreign trade, the equilibrium level of income would have been at a higher level, as determined by the equality of C plus I plus G equal to C plus S plus T at point F, whereas with foreign trade it is at a lower point E. There is also an alternative method of determining the equilibrium level of income in an open economy in terms of saving and investment quality. Page 160. Accordingly, C plus S plus T is equal to C plus I plus G plus within bracket X minus M, or S plus T equal to I plus G plus within bracket X minus M, or S plus T plus M equal to I plus G plus X. where S plus T plus M refers to total income and I plus G plus X to total expenditure. When S plus T plus M is equal to I plus G plus X, the equilibrium level of income is determined. This is shown in panel B of figure 6, where the S plus T plus M curve intersects the I plus G plus X curve at point E, and the equilibrium level of income OY is determined. Exercises. Question 1. What is meant by equilibrium level of national income? Show that this level is attained only when saving is equal to investment. 2. Explain the theory of income determination in a three-sector model. 3. Explain income determination in a closed economy. 4. How is income level determined in an open economy? And 5. Explain income determination with government expenditure and taxation. With this, we come to the end of chapter 20.